1-1 pitch, swing and a drive. Deep to right field, way up there, way out of here. Goodbye, baseball.
Eight strikeouts for the King tonight and make it 23 consecutive scoreless innings for Felix.
Strike three called on the outside corner, and there it is.
It's time for the Seattle Mariners Baseball Podcast.
Kyle Seager! That just happened! Thank you very much!
Now, here's your host, Gary Hill.
And welcome back to the official podcast of the Seattle Mariners. Gary Hill back with you as the M's, they start this homestand off right. Felix Hernandez on the hill. What an atmosphere it was from Safeco Field last night as the M's beat the Braves 4-2 in game one of this brief two-game series, the first game of a nine-game homestand. The King was outstanding. We're going to roll through the highlights, give you some numbers here in just a moment. We'll also hear from Rick Waite, pitching coach. They've jumbled up the starting rotation a little bit for the rest of this homestand, and Rick Waite is going to talk a little bit about that, but mostly about what it takes to keep pitchers fresh and what he looks for the rest of the way. Very interesting conversation with Shannon Dreher. Speaking of pitchers, we have a Hall of Fame pitcher to join us on the podcast. As Aaron Goldsmith, a long conversation with Hall of Famer Don Sutton. He broadcasts for the Atlanta Braves now and tells some very good stories, so that comes up. Also, Lupin of the Week continues, and this one is a classic, a game he got thrown out of. You won't want to miss that coming up at the end of the podcast. Coming into the ball game, though, last night, expectations so high with Kings Court, and it was expanded last night, and it was rocking. Felix on the mound, and boy, did he deliver. Although gave up a run early on in the ballgame. Atlanta struck first with a run in the second inning. But after that, Felix settled down and at one point retired 11 in a row.
The 2-2 swing and a miss, strike three, a changeup. A venomous changeup at 90 miles an hour. Upton hacks right through that pitch from the King, who was fanned 7 through 6 innings tonight against the Braves.
7 Ks in 6 innings. He didn't stop there.
The windup and the pitch. Swing and a miss. Strike three. Got him with that changeup. And there is strikeout number 8 for the King. They're jumping up and down in that left field corner in King's Court tonight. One away.
8 Ks for Felix Hernandez. How about this for the outing? He ends up going 8 innings after giving up a run early. 4 hits, just that one run, 1 walk, and 8 strikeouts, all on 97 pitches. And offensively, things came together for the Mariners in the 4th inning. A 4 spot in the 4th, a wild inning that included a first base hit for a new Mariner.
The 0-1 pitch swung on, lined right back up the middle into center field. A base hit for DeNorfia. Down to second goes Kyle Seager, and Chris DeNorfia has his first base hit as a Seattle Mariner, coming over from the San Diego Padres just a few days ago before that series in Baltimore. And DeNorfia with a solid base hit right back up the middle. Hey, welcome to Seattle.
First game in a Mariners uniform. He wasn't the only one. First game in a Mariners uniform in Seattle, and he wasn't the only one. As Austin Jackson, first game in a Mariners uniform in Seattle, and he came up with a big knock as well.
The pitch to Jackson, swinging a ground ball back at the middle, off the top of the mound, and into center field for a hit. Taylor rounding third. He will score up with the ball. Bonifacio, he throws it in to second baseman Tommy La Stella. Austin Jackson with a base hit and a run batted in, and it's now the Mariners 4 and the Braves 1 as Jackson comes through in the clutch.
And that topped off the inning. 4 runs in the 4th inning for the M's. Felix Hernandez was dominant and did get some help from the defense. This was a great play by Taylor.
Here's the pitch. Breaking ball, swinging a one-hopper to short. Diving stop. Taylor gets up. Fires the first in time to Rob Bonifacio. Holy smokes. What a play by the kid at shortstop. Chris Taylor diving to his right, a hot one-hopper, taking a hit away from Bonifacio, and that will retire the side. We'll be looking at that one for a long time. Very glovely.
Very glovely. Venomous and glovely. It's good stuff on the highlights, but this one all about the King.
Felix ready, the windup, and the 2-2 again. It is strike three called, and he strikes out Hayward again. He got him in the second. He gets him leading off the top of the 4th. That is strikeout number five for the King. And again, they're on their feet down there in King's Court.
It's fascinating to hear, too, the opposition, Jared Laird, after the ball game, talking about Felix and what happened after that lead that the Mariners got him.
I was talking on the bench with some of the guys. I said it seemed like when he got that lead, he they smell blood in the water. Yeah. And the good ones know how to pitch the lead. And he just kept pounding the zone with strikes. He wasn't falling behind. And once he got the lead, it was strike one, strike two, strike one, strike two. So it was like putting us in a hole. And when you go in a hole against a guy like that, it makes it for a tough at-bat.
I love that description. Strike one, strike two, strike one, strike two. Jared Laird in the clubhouse for the Atlanta Braves reacting after the ballgame. Felix was special. And not only that, Kyle Seager, his teammate as well, just talking about what it means to get a lead for Felix.
You definitely know. You know where you're at and, all that stuff, which is, exciting. It's something that, we haven't been able to do the last couple of years. It's obviously a lot of fun being in the, being in the hunt and, being in a position to do some things.
Watch Felix, what he's doing right now. Obviously, you've played behind him for a couple of years right now, but can you kind of separate that from what you've seen from him before?
He's the kind of guy that, I remember last year kind of, saying the same type of thing to you guys. Like, I don't know how, he could necessarily be better. And, he goes out there and he just continues to do it. So, I mean, you can see, night in, night out. I remember, he's getting guys out different ways. He's doing different things to get guys out as opposed to, maybe even just from last year. I mean, he's pretty special, obviously.
Special indeed. His ERA now at 1.97. That is the best ERA in the American League. I don't think any question the front runner for the American League Cy Young Award. Also continued reset his own Major League record, his 15th start in a row of 7-plus innings pitched or 2 earned runs or less. To put that in perspective, Adam Wainwright is the only other pitcher in baseball who has more starts of 7-plus innings, 2 earned runs or less than 15. I mean, Felix has done it 15 in a row. Wainwright has 16, but that's in all his starts combined. And he's the only one. Felix has more in a row than any other pitcher has on the season of those kind of starts. And to me, that just really points out how special this is. I mean, it is a Major League record. He's done it 15 times in a row. It's remarkable. How about in his last 15 starts? A 1.42 ERA, 126 strikeouts, 20 walks in 114 innings, 66 hits. They're ridiculous. Those numbers aren't real. Pretend numbers. They are pretend numbers. As he just dominates. He's been unbelievable and continues to be so. We're going to have a discussion in just a moment. I'm going to bring you the talk we had on the roundtable about what Felix is doing. And it's remarkable. You shake your head because he's just unbelievable. And here was the King after the ballgame talking about it.
Yeah, I feel the first doing it for a little rusty. I don't play catch like last night, and it was the day off, so after that, I was settling.
How are you adjusting to, sometimes you're 5 days, some days you're 4 days, and it used to be you'd feel extra strong, but it looks like you're adapting to that.
Yeah, I'm adapting. I mean, definitely. I feel pretty good, yeah.
Same thing with the 97 pitches. You look strong.
Yeah, I was strong. I mean, you say it was a good job, so you're the boss, you decide. I'm out.
Would you like to go in the distance tonight?
No, we got running. We got one of the best closers.
And Rodney did close this one down after giving up a run. But the Mariners get the win 4-2. Felix Hernandez, wow, he was something else. And we talked about it in the pregame show yesterday with the roundtable, talking about the King and just how good and special he has been.
I've looked at this and thought about this a lot. Felix Hernandez in his Cy Young Award winning season, in his last 10 starts, a 0.96 ERA. I just never thought he'd be able to equal that just because of how spectacular that was. He was on such a roll. He was so great that it was so lofty. I just never thought he'd be able to reach that level again, and yet here he is. His last 14 starts, he's pitching at that level. I think he's even better right now than he was at that season, and it's ridiculous to say, but I think that's where he's at.
No, I would agree with you, and I think the thing that, there's so many great things about Felix and what he does, but I think to marvel at the excellence is one thing, but how consistent he has been with it.
You know what I mean? I mean, you mentioned the Cy Young Award in that last month and a half, 2 months for him, that stretch of games that he went through. He's been this way all year long. And to walk out there, the thing that has impressed me the most this year about him, too, and something that we hadn't seen in the past, is I've seen games where he's had all four of his pitches working for him and watched him dominate other clubs. What I haven't seen from him but that we are seeing this year is it every fifth day it's that way. He goes out there nightly. That's a rare thing for any pitcher. For any pitcher to go out there, if they throw three pitches or four pitches and they're quality pitches, to have all of them working every single time they go out there is something to marvel at, because it's rare. And pitchers will talk to you about that. Starters will talk to you about just how rare it is. And most of the time, you know, they're out there just gutting it out and trying to figure it out. He's been really special this year. And a lot of fun to watch. I don't even know what else to say about it, really. You know, and to me, I you know, having played with Randy and watched him have some pretty good years,
yeah.
I think this is the best single season that I've seen for a Mariner pitcher ever, and I don't see any end to it. I mean, think about that.
Yeah.
He passed Tom Seaver. And he's still going.
And Chief Bender.
And that's slowing down.
How could you leave him out?
Yeah, seriously. Let's get the Chief in there.
I think it was you, Aaron. Were you the one that looked up the numbers? There really isn't anybody close to it.
I was going there next. No, you're absolutely right. It's incredible. If you look at pitchers in baseball who have had the Felix streak this year, right, of seven innings or more, two runs or fewer in consecutive games. If you look at the American League, the second place pitcher just had his streak snapped at five, and that is Chris Sale, who was knocked around by the Minnesota Twins in his last start. In the American League, he was the closest in seven or two, and it was at five starts. I mean, it's remarkable.
Yeah, you know, you take a look at the numbers, and he just blows you away about how he goes about his business. And it was a few starts ago, I took a look at his earned run average in his starts. He had a 2.05 ERA in his starts. Then we looked at his losses plus his no decisions, and he had a 2.19 ERA. Most pitchers, when they lose, their ERA is way up there. Their no decisions can be way up there. This guy has been outstanding, even in the losses and especially the no decisions. But the one stat that really catches your eye, 64 career starts where he's gone eight or more innings and given up one run or less, and he's 50-2 in those outings with how many no decisions with left over. But, you know, he just wants to get better, and that's what he did during the offseason. I think that workout regime, whatever he did back home there, really paved the way for another tremendous season.
Yeah, and it's interesting to look at him now. I think we've all noticed, if you see him in dress clothes right now, you probably see it in the baseball uniform too. I don't know what he weighs right now, but he's noticeably slimmer, and I thought the legs were one of the reasons why he didn't have the velocity the last few years. Apparently that's not the case right now. So whatever that workout routine is, mm-hmm. with the consistency that we've seen it throughout the year, and he has, everybody said, he's showing no signs of slowing down. He's found it. And you've got to do that throughout your career as you get older, find out whatever works for you. And he's always been one step ahead of the curve, which is one of the things that I find so impressive about him. He's never settled. He's never gone, hey, I'm here. I've won the Cy Young. I'm just going to keep going. I just need to keep everything consistent. It's always been a matter of adding to what he's doing, it be his approach, be it something in his mechanics, be it his physical shape. He's always done that. And Gary, one thing back to what you opened with, because I was with you. There's no way he's ever going to touch that 0.96 of the ERA. Well, he may not have quite got there in his last 10 starts, a little bit over that, but when he had the 0.96, his batting average against was 160 for his final 10 starts in 2010. In his last 10 starts, it's 150. On base percentage in 2010, 233. Right now, 196. OPS 478 in 2010. Right now, in the last 10 starts, 425.
That's amazing. I think the thing, too, for me, watching Felix and thinking about him when he was 19 and where he's gone with his career and how he just keeps getting better and better and better. I've always found that one of the hardest things to do as a pitcher is to repeat your mechanics. And to be able to do that with all four of your pitches every time you go out there is really phenomenal. And what I mean by that is I talk about it sometimes. Is his arm slot, where his arm slot is. As a hitter, the smallest variation, Gary, you start to pick those things up. He's able to throw all four of his pitches with conviction out of that same slot time and time again. He rarely gets out of it. He may do it tonight. He'll throw 100 pitches. He may get out of there three or four times the entire night. As a hitter, you have no chance. You really don't. It's next to impossible.
Yeah. Special night tonight, too, with MLB Network here.
Yeah.
Filming in Kings Court. And to give you a perspective as to really how big of a deal that is, talking with the guys from the radio crew from Atlanta, this is not a knock on them. They don't get to see many Mariners baseball games. They really weren't familiar with Kings Court. They really didn't know what it looked like, what it meant. And so you wonder how much more of the country is in that same boat, probably more than we'd like to think. So this is a big night for people to really know what it's like to be here in Seattle every 5 days when Felix is on the mound. This should be a fun time.
Yeah, and those fans in King Court, they fire him up. He relishes this. I mean, he loves the fact that he's got a special night here at this ballpark every night that he pitches.
And, Gary, you were talking to me about it earlier. This might be the right club for him tonight, too. They've had their struggles.
Atlanta, second most K's against right-handed pitching in baseball this season. Felix Hernandez, he is right-handed, and he strikes out a lot of hitters. So there you go. No pitcher has struck out more hitters than Felix Hernandez since 2005. One more I'll leave you with. Felix now in his career, this piggybacks on what Rick mentioned a moment ago, he's got 146 games in his career of 7-plus innings, 2 earned runs or less. Just as a comparison, Brett Saberhagen had 149 in his career. Mark Langston had 150 in his career. Frank Viola, 151 in his career. Sandy Koufax, 155 in his career. Felix is 28 with a lot of career left. He's thrown 146. So that puts into context what this guy is doing every single time out.
So now the Mariners take game one of this series, a brief two-game set, and now M's turn their attention to day baseball. Day baseball today, 12:40, first pitch from Safeco Field. And this is a pitching matchup I am really looking forward to. Chris Young going to go for the M's. A little bit of a rough outing his last time out, but he has pitched so well at Safeco Field this year. He has been unbelievable on his home field. He's going to go against Julio Teheran. And this is, I think, one of the fun things about interleague play. You get to see a guy like Teheran, who has been absolutely outstanding for the Atlanta Braves this season. This is a real deal pitcher's matchup. So far in the season, he's 10-7, a 2.69 ERA. He's fanned 141 hitters on the season, and his whip just 1.04. He's having a nice year. Last time out against the Dodgers, went 8, gave up just 2 earned runs. He's pitched really well as of late, and he's had some big, big starts this season. So he's going to be really tough. The righty can really bring it. Mariners are going to have their work cut out for him against Teheran. Meanwhile, Chris Young, and we've talked about him so much on the podcast for good reason. He's been real special this year. 9-6, a 3.19 ERA, but he's been even better at home this year. In fact, at Safeco Field, he's been nearly unhittable at times on his home field. Opponents just batting 179 against him on the season in 11 starts. His ERA at 2.21. He's only given up 6 homers compared to 13 on the road. Safeco Field just fits him so perfectly. Mariners looking to sweep aside, break out the mini brooms for the two-game sweep against the Atlanta Braves. Then the homestand continues. White Sox, Blue Jays coming in. Big, big stuff on its way on this homestand. So got off to the right start. They got the win. Now they'll look to sweep aside the Braves. Now, speaking of the rest of this homestand, starting rotation jumbled a little bit. And here to talk about it, Shannon Dreyer, along with Rick Waits.
Just how do the routines change this time of year?
Some of the adjustments have already been made. I think the main thing is each pitcher is an individual, and you're not going to lump them all together and say that we, you know, do less bullpens or more bullpens or flat grounds, as we call it. I think each individual, you stay in contact with him on a daily basis, and, you know, like Felix and Kuma, for instance, haven't changed their routine at all. They don't need to right now. They're both throwing well, and they're staying in the exact same routine every day. You look at some of the younger guys, Elias, for instance. He's changed just a little bit in the last couple of weeks, of just a little less in the bullpen, and concentrating a little bit more in his long toss, and it seems to have made a difference for him. I think sometimes it's more when you get to September, but you're right. This is that time when you just start looking for any fatigue, either physically or mentally. And tell you the truth, I haven't seen that in our bullpen guys. And then also you've got Chris Young, you've got James Paxton now. James Paxton, he's on a full go. And, you know, it's like May for him. And so there won't be any changes with him. If anything, he's going to get full work all the time, ready to go. And with Chris Young, you know, of course, it's just he's got his own program that we work together hard at, and he's feeling stronger than he has all year.
He's kind of an interesting one because you look at him, and he's very quickly going to get to the most innings he's thrown since 2007, if I've looked at all the numbers correctly. How do you kind of gauge where he's at, just having such an odd history with injury and with how much he's pitched?
I think the main thing is talking every day. I think that's what we've done all year. We just really talk each and every day about how you feeling, how you doing, and there hasn't been a lot of conversation on that. I think if I'd have been with him before, then I'd have a better gauge on, you know, what I've seen him do before. But again, you know, probably a month ago he had a little neck issue going on. You know, it wasn't anything, didn't miss any starts or anything. But now, I mean, he's really amazing. I mean, he's feeling as strong as he's felt all year with his body and his arm, and there's no reason to make any changes right now.
Felix and Kuma don't throw from the mound in between games. If I got that right, their bullpens are flat grounds?
They go back and forth.
Okay.
You know, Felix doesn't hardly ever throw from the mound, almost all season. So he just does his throwing in outfield, throws some flat grounds to Jason Phillips, and that's been his routine, and he stays with it, I think, for years. Early in the year, he threw a bullpen between starts, but he probably hasn't thrown a bullpen since May, maybe middle of May. Kuma goes back and forth, you know, and again, they're individuals, and I think the minute you start lumping them all together, that's where you get in trouble. And, you know, talking with Kuma and talking with Anthony Suzuki, his interpreter, you know, it changes from start to start, whether he wants to get on the mound or whether he just wants to play catch in the outfield. And, you know, between this start, he went off the mound. So I leave it up to them and in our conversation, and it works. And that's what I did when I was a pitcher, but it's not that I've heavily influenced that. The main thing is be in constant contact on a daily basis and find out what they need to do to be really 100% ready for that next game.
Hi, this is Emilio Bonifacio of the Atlanta Braves, and you're listening to my main man, Gary Hill, on the official Mariners Baseball Podcast.
And now, a Hall of Famer is going to join us. Don Sutton, longtime Major League pitcher, had a tremendous career, now working on the broadcast for the Atlanta Braves. And here's Aaron Goldsmith with Don Sutton.
Don, as a Hall of Famer yourself, you were in Cooperstown over the recent weekend to help usher in the new class of Hall of Famers, which certainly had a nice Atlanta flavor to it. Bobby Cox, Tom Glavine, Greg Maddux. What was the ceremony like for you?
Well, a couple of thoughts. Number one, I thought the state of Georgia was represented well because everybody there had some connection to the state of Georgia. Tony La Russa had been in the Braves organization, and the big hurt, Frank Thomas, was born in Columbus, Georgia, so it was well represented. But there was the Braves connection, and I think probably the biggest moment, a weekend of pride for the Braves family since going from worst to first back in 91. And in my mind, it's the best one I've been to, other than mine, of course. forgive me for that. But I thought it was the best. I thought there was an air of excitement there. I thought that all the players who came back, we had a big crowd of Hall of Famers there, and there just felt like that there was a sense of, yeah, this is something special for everybody that I ran into there. And they packed 50,000 people in that little town of 2,200. So it was exciting. It was fun. And I'm happy I got to be a part of it.
For those who've never been, they had the Legends Parade where each one of the Hall of Famers is in the back of a pickup truck with a sign on top of the cab, and it slowly drives down Main Street in downtown Cooperstown. And there's this great excitement for the fans who are there lining the street. They've put their lawn chairs out since 6 o'clock in the morning, and it's who's coming next? And, oh, there's Hank Aaron, and there's Nolan Ryan. What was that like for you to be in the back of one of those trucks waving to everybody coming down Main Street?
Well, it's electric, and my daughter was back there with me. My daughter is a high school athlete down in Rancho Mirage, so I think she had more fun with it than I did. But if you put a lawn chair out there, you had no chance of seeing, because I'm guessing that there were times where it was 30 deep. It was amazing. It's the biggest crowd I've ever seen there. And they were genuine baseball fans. It wasn't like they were there for one person. You could tell on their faces and their excitement and their actions that they loved the game of baseball and that they loved and appreciated its history. So I felt like when I walked by and the people, or when we rode by and the people were so nice, the thought hit me how privileged I am to be a part of the history that is in that town.
Speaking of Maddux and the Hall of Fame, Greg Maddux was born on the day that you made your major league debut with the Dodgers, and you were part of just a phenomenal rotation with Los Angeles. Sandy Koufax, Don Drysdale, Claude Osteen. What were those days like for you?
Well, I was fortunate, and let me, if I may, expand the group a little more. The first guy I ever pitched to was John Roseboro. In my mind, one of the smartest catchers I've ever been around. The shortstop behind me was Maury Wills. The third baseman was Jim Gilliam. And, oh, yeah, the rotation was Koufax, Drysdale, and Claude Osteen. And we were the only four-man rotation in the history of the game to finish our careers with at least 40 shutouts. So I won the lottery. Just think of it. I was a kid. I wasn't too far removed from the woods of South Alabama and Northwest Florida. And to be in the big leagues with those guys, I wasn't in awe of them. They wouldn't let me be. I felt like, I don't care how this sounds, I guess, I felt like I belonged, and they made sure that I felt like I belonged. And I think one of the things I'll always be grateful to those three guys or those five guys for, they never let me embarrass myself. I was socially inept. I didn't know you tipped a clubhouse guy. I had just come up from the minor leagues, and just I was 2.5 years out of high school when I got called up in September of 65. So I will always be grateful that those guys didn't let me make a fool of myself, because I could have done that very easily without the social training that you needed to act like a big leaguer. But as far as pitching was concerned, all three of them said the same thing, and I'll always remember it and I'll always be grateful. Don't try to be one of us. Watch us and take the part of what we do that helps you and make yourself better. Maybe the best advice I ever got was from Sandy Koufax, who said, everybody's going to be giving you advice. Listen to everybody. It's the polite thing to do. Pick the part of it that fits you. That's the smart thing to do.
So you truly were never intimidated when you came up?
No, and see, it's hard to say that, but I guess my give-a-damn broke a couple of years ago. So, at this stage in my life, I really don't care what people think about what I thought. I was confident, and that's what I was taught at home. I was a sharecropper's kid. We were tenant farmers. So to dream the dream that I dreamed, to pitch in the big leagues, was a stupid dream in the first place. So when I got there, I thought, well, here we are. Let's see what we can do with it. So one of the things I've learned, picking up a few social pointers, was if you think it, it's confidence. If you say it, it's arrogance. So I've tried not to say it until a few years ago. But I really felt like I belonged, and I didn't feel like I had anything to prove. And thank God for those three pitchers who never, there was no hazing, there was no harassment. It was, they would say, oh, go get him. Elmer was my nickname, and why wouldn't it be, from South Alabama? They would go get him, Elmer, it's your turn. And they say, well, how do I pitch to Aaron? Fastball up and in, slider down and away. I don't throw a slider. Then don't go out there. But that kind of stuff. There was a camaraderie that those veteran stars had with a 21-year-old kid that made me feel like I belonged. But I had done it, it's funny, I don't know how much time we got, and you can lop all this off if you want to. I studied personalities. I'm a very internal person. I'm a clinical introvert. So anything that I do has already been processed two or three times before it comes out. Sometimes interviews like this are not comfortable for me because I don't know what you're going to ask, and I haven't had a chance to think it through. But when I got to the big leagues, growing up as the firstborn in a rural area, all that stuff that was happening at Dodger Stadium, I'd already seen it. I had done it 1,000 times. I had already pitched against the Reds and the Giants. In my mind, I'd done that 1,000 times. So, and it was so vivid in my mind when I was doing it, thinking it, that when I walked out there that first day at Dodger Stadium, it was almost like, well, how many times is this? We've done this now? So, and not everybody can understand that, and not everybody is built like that. I guess two out of three people are or motivated more by their environment than internally. So I think that's one of the things. I know I gave you a long-winded answer, but I think that's one of the things that helped me is that an internal person, I'd already seen this, and I had three of the best guys standing alongside me to help me realize it wasn't just a dream.
That's incredible stuff. And certainly I'd have to think that that has helped you, or helped you rather, in the fact that you never missed a spot in the rotation, which is just remarkable. 23 years, over 750 starts, over 5,000 innings. And Don, in a day and age where pitchers are missing starts, they're missing seasons for various injuries, namely Tommy John, how did you do it?
Well, we never had flu-like symptoms then. I was fortunate, you know. Thank God for maybe a little bit of a quirky delivery, but it put the burden on the butt muscles and the lower back muscles. So I never felt like my elbow or shoulder, either one, was stressed. Number two, I had a great pitching coach, Red Adams, who was right on top of things, and just being very, very fortunate. One of the things that I remember when my dad was a farmer and then construction work, concrete work. I never saw my dad miss a day of work. From 90 degrees in July in Northwest Florida to 28 degrees with ice and wind pouring concrete. I never saw him miss a day of work. So my commitment when I left to go play baseball was, I'm not going to miss a day's work. If my dad can do that, I can, in a magnificent stadium under ideal playing conditions, I can go to work. So that was my commitment. And the last thing he told me, I rode a bus from Pensacola to Vero Beach. My first day of spring training, as he took me to the bus station, my dad said, there will always be somebody better than you. Don't ever let anybody outwork you. And I'd like to think that they didn't, and I'd like to think I got everything I could out of what I was given.
Don, you had your fair share of complete games, but three times in your career did you actually pitch more than nine innings. You pitched 10 innings one time. You pitched 11 innings twice. What do you remember especially about those 11 inning starts?
I remember, why the crap didn't they give me some runs early? No, you know, it's kind of funny you bring that up. My son, who was doing television for the Diamondbacks for a while, brought that up to me less than a week ago, and I didn't remember it. You know, that was those games, those starts, I have fond memories of the career itself as having been blessed to be able to do it. But if you ask me particular games, I'm not sure I can remember them. I often hear that I don't even know where my car keys are. So. And I kiddingly tell my broadcast partner, Jim Powell, who will ask me the day after a game, in the fourth inning yesterday, what did Cano do? And Jim, they pay me to do the games, not remember them. So I think one of those was against the Giants.
I believe that was the tied at nothing after your 11 innings.
Yeah, I think that's about the only one I remember. And the others kept thinking, all it takes is one, guys, just one.
Don, it's a real treat to catch up with you. It's a tremendous pleasure. Thanks so much for the time, and welcome to Seattle.
Well, I told you that it's great to be here. I love coming here. I have friends here. I hated pitching in the world's largest wine cellar before you got your nice new ballpark. I would have loved this. The people here are so genuine, so real, so fun to be around. And I told you in private, I will tell you in public, I enjoy your work. Stay at it. I think when I listen to you, I am convinced that those of us listening are more important than you think you are. And I think that's a great way. That's what Pete Van Wieren taught me.
That's very thoughtful of you. Thank you so much for the time.
My pleasure.
And finally, it is Lou Piniella week. He's going into the Mariners Hall of Fame on Saturday, and this is just a classic, and I think a great way to end things. Here is Lou.
And he's going to pick up the first base bag, and there it goes, down the right field line.
Don't throw it again, Lou.
Don't kick that, Lou. You'll break your toe. Lou's going to pick it up and throw it farther down the right field line into fair territory.